I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to the 21st chapter of John. If you didn't, we'll have the words up overhead as we look at verses 15 through 19 this morning. John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Those were the words that John recorded of the incident. But this morning, we're going to back and we're going to have Peter share with you his experience and his story of what happened that day. I was one of those chosen to follow Jesus. During his earthly ministry, I found that I became close to him. My name is Peter. I shared a part of my story with you 2 weeks ago. Let's briefly review what I told you. Sadly, I am one of two of the disciples of Jesus who betrayed him that night before he was crucified. I still shudder over what happened. Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And later that evening, after leading the soldiers to Jesus, kissing him on the cheek, he tried to return the money to the Jewish leaders. They would not accept it. Later, Judas hanged himself. That same evening, Jesus predicted that I would deny him 3 times before the rooster crowed. I told him that was impossible. I said I would go to prison with him and die with him. I did betray my Lord 3 times that night before the rooster crowed. At that exact moment, Jesus turned his head and he looked at me. And as he stared at me, I remember what he said. "I too betrayed my Lord that night. I fell apart and wept bitterly." My walk with Jesus was a stumbling, stuttering, bumbling attempt to follow him. My mouth was always getting me into trouble. And one day Jesus was predicting his own death, and I took him aside. And I began to rebuke him. He began to rebuke me by calling me Satan when he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but things of men." Some days my faith was strong and immovable, like when I identified Jesus as the Messiah. Other days my faith was weak, pathetic, helpless, knocked about like our boat on that storm when he walked on the waters. Have you ever let anybody down? It is not the best feeling in the world, especially when you have previously boasted how they could beyond a shadow of a doubt always depend on you. Now, to disappoint someone who loves you hurts. but to disappoint the person who laid his life down for you, that is painful. My life was one of ups and downs. After my boast that I would never let Jesus down, I watched from a distance as he was led away. I was close enough to see Jesus, but I was not close enough to be seen with Jesus. As Jesus was being tried by the kangaroo court of the high priest, I chose to stand outside to warm myself by the fire. I was recognized as one of his followers 3 times. I had 3 chances to make a bold statement for my Lord, but I chose to blow it 3 times instead. As the rooster crowed, I recognized that I was a bona fide loser. Early that Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb with spices that they had prepared, and they discovered that that secured stone in front of the tomb had been rolled away. And Mary Magdalene returned from the tomb and told us that Jesus' body was gone. John and I got up and headed towards the tomb. When I arrived, I too discovered that the tomb was empty. You can probably imagine my mixed emotions. I rejoiced to see that the tomb was empty. But that evening, Jesus came to visit us behind those locked doors as we were afraid of the Jews. I was truly afraid of the authorities and of Jesus. I worried about my denial of him. I knew our relationship could never be the same. I had let my friend down in his greatest need. Would Jesus still call me his friend? Or did he see me as a coward? Had I gone so far in betraying my Lord that Jesus could not forgive me? Was there still a place for me in his kingdom? One day I announced to the other disciples that I was going fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Now remember, this is not the kind of fishing that you might do with a rod and reel. This was the kind of fishing where we used heavy nets because we were professional fishermen before we met Jesus. Thomas and Nathaniel and John, James and 2 others joined me as we put our boat out and lowered our net. We fished all night. And when we pulled them back up, they were empty. I guess it was a bit of a metaphor for what my life was feeling. I felt empty. And it was early in the morning. We were about 100 yards from shore when we heard someone whom we did not recognize calling out to us, "Hey friends, haven't you got any fish?" We replied, "No." He told us to throw our nets out from the right side of the boat and we would find some. Wow. There were so many fish, we were unable to haul them in. And I had a flashback to the time when Jesus first called me to be a disciple. I had been fishing and had not caught a thing that time. And again this time, Jesus told me to throw my nets into the water. And both times, there was miraculous catch. Sometimes, when you have fallen, it is good to go back to where it all began. Jesus was offering me a second starting chance. He was giving me a second chance to make things right. But of course, I did not realize it right at that moment. After we ate, Jesus turned to me and began a conversation. And as the two of us were talking, Jesus confronted me. I was afraid and full of doubts as to where I now stood with my master. I was fearful of what Jesus might say. You know, Peter, you really blew it big time on those three denials. You had all that big talk and no action. Peter, why did you deny me? But Jesus had too much compassion to put the knife of guilt any deeper into my heart. His goal was to remove my guilt. He performed deep soul surgery and successfully cut out the ache from my heart. He asked me, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? There was an underlying seriousness to the tone that Jesus was using. I noticed that the rest of the group perked up when this official tone of voice was used, and my heart sank. Jesus did not call me Peter, as in the past, when he referred to me as Peter the Rock. He simply called me Simon. The title Peter no longer fit. A rock is strong and above all dependable. And I had been anything but dependable. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? More than what? More than the fish? More than these men? You love me more than material things? You love me more than your station in life? No. Jesus was referring to my boast in the upper room, where I said that even if everyone else fled, I never would. I had been boastful. Now Jesus was asking, Simon, are you still willing to make that claim? I wanted to forget that claim. I was ashamed of it. Yes, Lord, I said, you know that I love you. I was not acting superior to anyone else. I had learned humility through my mistake. I realized that I was not as strong as I thought I was. I had failed miserably as a leader and as a follower of Jesus. I felt like the world was sitting on my shoulders. At times, we underestimate just how strong our faith is. We've said that we were not strong enough to handle a tragedy. But when it came, we realized that our faith was stronger than we thought. At other times, we have overestimated our strength and our need for others and for the strength of God's Spirit. I am so sure that I would never do what I actually did. Many of us make the claim that we would never find ourselves in the sins that others have committed. But we never know. That's why we always have to be vigilant, always on guard. David never thought that he would commit adultery. Solomon never thought that he would get involved in idolatry. I never thought that I would ever deny knowing Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, if you think you are strong, you should be careful not to fall. I was overconfident. I learned that I was not as strong as I thought I was. Because of my mistake, I was humbled and became honest about my spiritual condition. When Jesus asked me, Simon, son of John, do you love me? The word that he used in Greek was agape, which means unconditional love. I responded in an honest fashion. I knew that my actions did not match that kind of devotion. I was not quite there. I responded, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, the Greek word for love that I used was phileo, which means brotherly love. To paraphrase that for you, Jesus asked if I loved him 100%, more than anything else in the world. My reply was, Lord, you know I like you. I was simply being honest here. I was not quite at that level of love yet. I was expecting to ask Jesus why I denied him. And instead, Jesus looked tenderly at me, and he gave me the simple instructions, feed my lambs. He was not talking about feeding lambs, but about people. This was a symbolic way of telling me to teach God's word to Jesus' followers. He was saying, I have a plan for your life. I want you to take care of the people who are young believers. Later, the author of Hebrews would write, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid foods. I felt that Jesus still had confidence in me and ability as a leader. He was restoring me to my position. He looked at me again and asked, Simon, son of John, do you really love me? I was caught off guard. But again, I said, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you. This time he told me, take care of my sheep. He was saying that when these lambs grow, do not abandon them. I expect you to be faithful with the passing of time. He was saying that he wanted me to take care of the spiritual needs of his people. God is telling us that he's not calling us for short-term service, but a lifetime of commitment. And then, for the third time, Jesus came down to my level, and he used my words for love. He asked, Peter, do you like me? This was difficult for me. Usually the reason someone would ask the same question over and over is that he or she did not believe the answer that was being given. Maybe one of your parents has looked at you and asked the question, Mary, who broke my lamp? And then when you answered, nobody, your parent looked at you again and said, who broke my lamp? But this was not the case here. Jesus knew that I loved him. Jesus was giving me the opportunity to profess my love out loud 3 times, just as I had denied him 3 times a few weeks before. Did you notice the path that Jesus used to restore me? It started with a high godly level, and he finished at the personal level. God calls us from his level, and then he starts his work in us at the personal level, at our level where we can relate to him. I felt hurt because I knew in my heart that I had been wrong and I needed to be forgiven by Jesus. It is open heart surgery. He asked me the same question 3 times. I replied sorrowfully, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to girt yourself and walk where you willed. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will girt you and lead you where you do not want to go. Then he said, follow me. There it was. He was inviting me to once again follow him. And each time I answered Jesus, he gave me a commission. Feed my sheep. It's not enough to be forgiven. It's not enough to feel good about yourself. Now is the time for action. It is the time to pick yourself up out of the gutter of life and to get busy doing the Lord's work. It's time to fulfill your life with the work of Jesus and feed the sheep. It's great to be forgiven. But if it's not followed by action, it is fruitless. If I love Jesus at all, there was one instruction I had to follow. I had to teach others about the new life that Jesus offered. Jesus was going to leave us shortly. He would no longer be able to take care of the spiritual needs of his followers. Jesus was handling this very important job over to me and to the other disciples. And at the moment, the number was small for those who believed in Jesus. But that number was about to grow rapidly. And it was very important that I taught the truth to many people who would believe in him. Before Jesus was arrested, I was the boldest of all disciples. I was a leader. Others followed by my example. And then, sadly, I showed my weakness by denying that I knew Jesus. I was questioned 3 times and given the charge 3 times to pick up where Jesus left off. Now, I have no doubt that Jesus meant to fully restore me to my position of leadership in his church. When I denied Jesus 3 times in the faces of the enemies, I acted unworthy as a follower of Jesus. On the beach that day, I was given the opportunity 3 times to acknowledge my love for the Lord. And 3 times I was commissioned to act as a pastor to the other disciples. This made it clearer to the other disciples that I had been restored as their leader. Jesus did not want me to feel that I could never be a leader again. Everyone makes mistakes. If God only used perfect people, who would he use? No one is perfect. Jesus uses people who love him. He does not need people who love him with superhuman love, but those who simply love him as much as they can. All the heroes that you read about in the Bible have one thing in common. They loved God. Some were rich. Some were poor. Some were beautiful. Some were plain. Some were strong. And some were weak. But the one thing they shared was a heart that loved God. That is all he requires of you. There will be moments throughout your life when you will be in need of restoration. And there are 3 major themes when we need restoration to God. First, when our self-esteem does not allow us to do something. And second, when we have failed miserably in the past. And the third, when our pride would not allow us to be used. I went through all 3 of those themes during the time that Jesus and I were talking. I had to deal with my low self-esteem that plagued me because of my station in life. I was a plain fisherman. I had to deal with miserably failing my calling. My pride stood in the way of fulfilling my Christian duty. I was in need of restoration from the one who loved me the most, Jesus. Jesus knew me better than I knew myself. He looked at my heart. He knew I was running from myself. His questions pierced the heart of what was the matter with me. Jesus helped me find the mercy and the grace that I needed in order to receive healing from the pains of life. I was forgiven, and I was restored into the full graces of my Lord. Jesus helped me discover my hidden qualities that I needed for my service as the leaders of the disciples. Many of you are living at a low level in which God is not pleased. Today, God is calling you to a higher plane. God is asking you right now, do you love me? Do you love me more than anything else? He wants to offer you restoration, just like he did me. He is offering you an opportunity to serve with your life.